It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to the head of a homeless shelter in Madison about what resources are available for homeless people in the bitter cold.
First, Assembly Republicans were considering new rules that would have made it easier to cut off debate in the Assembly. Republicans have a majority in the Assembly, and these rules could have allowed them to shut down debate by minority Democrats.
Sean Johnson is here to give us the latest. He's WPR's state government reporter. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this story, a moving target today. What is the latest on these proposed rule changes?
So they approved the rule changes, but they are definitely scaled back from what Republicans first floated late last week. They would still require the minority leader and the majority leader to agree to time limits to discuss bills on the assembly floor. And, you know, before last session, that would have been unheard of. I mean, assembly lawmakers kind of felt like it was their right to speak as long as they wanted to on any issue of the day. And sometimes they did. We'd have overnight sessions in the debate over Act 10. The debate, you know, really literally lasted about 3 days, just around the clock. So, I mean, there's a history of where debates would go a very long time in the assembly. Last session, Republican Speaker Robin Voss and Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barkas said they wanted to kind of calm things down a bit. They reached basically a gentleman's agreement that said, we're going to come up with time limits, reasonable time limits we can both agree upon before every assembly session. And last session, they abided by that. What the rule change that they voted on today would do is essentially codify what was previously a gentleman's agreement. What it does not do is it does not include language that would let majority Republicans cut off debate after a minimum of a half hour, which was a possibility in the rules that were first released last week.
That was one of the ideas being considered. What was the reaction to that more, I think it'd be fair to say, stringent option?
You know, I didn't hear like a real big freak out from Democrats over these rules. The Republicans floated them out there, and they've been meeting with Democrats discussing them in recent days. You know, I mean, Republicans have a huge majority in the assembly. They can do what they want on policy matters. And so really when it comes to what Democrats can do, I mean, their voice is what they still have. They can stand up on the assembly floor and complain loudly about bills that they don't like, and they can complain at length. And so when you start talking about time limits, you're talking about taking that away. But, really, Speaker Voss and Minority Leader Peter Barkas have had a pretty good relationship when it comes to this stuff. I mean, Voss is definitely steering the ship when it comes to imposing time limits. When you come down to it, there's really little that Barkas can do to stop him. But they have at least kind of worked in concert on this stuff.
Now, this sounds kind of procedural now, but as you're saying, back in the days of Act 10, issues over who got to speak, when, how long, got pretty heated, didn't they?
Very heated, yeah. I mean, that was a 3-day debate. People were exhausted by the end, and, you know, that probably is part of the reason that debate went the way that it did. I mean, it was eventually, it's hard to say that a debate was cut off abruptly when it lasted a few days, but eventually, Republicans just decided they'd had enough, and they called the question. They called for the vote. Democrats who were in the chamber at the time gathered around and pointed fingers and shouted shame at Republicans. The gallery went nuts. It's a totally different atmosphere today, though. I mean, at least the two assembly galleries that I could see from where I was sitting were completely empty. It was just, nobody raised their voice in the assembly. Some of the hyperbole that you'll hear in your average session day was largely absent. But, you know, if we have a big proposal like, let's say, I don't know, right to work has been thrown around there, all that could change and time to speak on an issue could be, you know, at a premium.
Now, this is just a chamber of the legislature setting its own rules. This isn't something that is a state law that they need to pass and get signed by the governor and so on.
Exactly. They set their own rules. They always have. So this is something that they'll abide by. The Senate is not bound by such rules. They, you know, when it comes to time limits, I've never heard it discussed over there. They basically kind of talk themselves out on issues. There's fewer of them. Everybody gets a chance to say their piece, and you know, they're usually ready to go home by the time everybody's had a chance to talk.
And we're not hearing anything about rule changes like this in the Senate, are we?
No, not like this. I mean, you know, this wasn't the only rule that they adopted. In fact, they took some of the Senate's language out of their rules on what it means to meet in partisan caucuses, which essentially lets them get around the open meetings law a little bit, and it will let the leaders like Representative Barca and Representative Voss meet privately with others to discuss things like assembly rule changes. So, the chambers will give and take on rules when they find something to their liking, but I haven't heard the Senate talking about any kind of time limits like this.
Well, ultimately, however long people are able to talk on issues, Republicans are going to have the votes they need to pass what they want, by and large.
Yeah, absolutely. They have the biggest majority they've had in that chamber since the 1950s. I mean, they had a big majority before. They maintained that big majority in 2012 in what was, not a huge Democratic wave year in Wisconsin, but a Democratic year. Barack Obama won, Tammy Baldwin won, but Republicans held on to their seats, and in this past election cycle, they gained a few more. It was a Republican year. They did benefit, certainly, from a Republican-drawn legislative map, but they have the numbers that they need to set the agenda. As I say, sometimes all a Democrat can do is get up and talk.
Well, getting into some of what's on that agenda, one of the first items you're hearing about, actually on both sides of the legislature, school accountability, changing the way that works. What are we hearing today on that?
The school accountability is one of those issues that's been talked about in the Capitol for a few years now. And I'm talked about by the governor for a few years. He said that he wants all schools who take public dollars, whether they are private voucher schools or traditional public schools or charter schools, they want them to be held accountable. And it's just been tricky to get lawmakers, even though the legislature has been under Republican control, they have not agreed on what that means. And so what you saw today is Assembly Republicans coming out with what they think that should mean. And it's pretty interesting stuff in there. One of the things that they're proposing is that if they would create this new A through F grading system for public schools, which is something that hasn't actually been talked about before. And if a school fails for, I think, 3 years of testing, gets a D or F after 3 years of testing, they have to take over. They have to implement this school improvement plan. If after another 4 years they're still failing, they would be, by state law, they would be required to be turned into a charter school. That's a big step. And, you know, you're talking about one of the reasons this bill hasn't passed in previous sessions is that some lawmakers, when they start to look at what the bill would mean for their schools, they see it's punitive. It could hurt schools in their district. This is definitely a punitive bill by nature. You know, whether or not that hurts its chances of passage this session, we'll see. It's a completely different legislature.
And that's on the Assembly side. One of the leading voices in the Senate, Republican Senate State Senator Paul Farrow, has been a big advocate for school accountability. Have his plans looked anything like this? Does he have this kind of punitive angle in what he's looking for?
He has not said that he's going to support this bill right out of the gate. Actually, there was another draft of this bill that was released earlier this morning, not circulated, and it's no longer part of what they're talking about now. But early on, there was talk about penalizing school administrators in districts that are failing. So the Senate's working on their own bill. Whether or not it includes some elements of the Assembly bill, we'll see. It's a conservative legislature in that body too. But the State Assembly, I think just maybe by the way that it's run by Speaker Voss is going to probably take the lead on a lot of issues and try to get out in front on a lot of issues this session. And so they kind of came out right out of the gate with this one. Should mention also that that assembly version would allow for schools to take different tests, private schools to take different tests potentially than public schools as they measure up on this A through F grading system.
Sean, this session's just getting rolling. You're Mr. Prime Time. Are you ready to rock on all this stuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's go.
All right, Sean, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR state government reporter, with us to talk about some of the early action in the state assembly.